Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Eric Zorn may say something about that. Keep us posted, Kevin, in the WGN Radio Newsroom. Eric's the former Chicago Tribune columnist. He now publishes a newsletter called The Picayune Sentinel, a weekly newsletter with commentary and comedy and whatnot. He's also a member of our Mincing Rascals podcast panel, one of the most listened to audio sources at WGNradio.com. You can hear it there and wherever you hear podcasts. Eric, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And I really appreciate you mentioning the Picayune Sentinel every week, because every week after my appearance on your show, I always get like four or five people writing in saying they want to subscribe, and it's been really helpful to me. So any listeners who want to, ericzorn@gmail.com, I'll add you to the list. It's free, and go from there.
Or you could pay the premium price and get the extended version, the supplemental stuff. I don't know what you want to say about Donald Trump in town. I don't want to talk about it a lot, but you got any wisdom for us on that topic today?
I don't really. I'm wondering what if he's going to do a repeat performance from last night. And he was in Oaks, Pennsylvania, with that really strange rally where a couple of people fainted, and this caused a long delay. And rather than take questions, he like had them play music like YMCA and Hallelujah over the loudspeakers while he kind of sat there or stood there on stage and kind of bopped to the music. And it was one of the strangest things people have said. The USA Today headline called it deranged and referred to his behavior as slap happy. I don't know what's going on with Trump, but I feel like the media that focused in so viciously and perhaps appropriately on President Biden's mental state and his acuity and his, you know, his senescence ought to be doing the same thing with Trump at this point. His rallies are kind of unhinged, and the kind of stuff he's talking about, sending the military after radical leftists in the country. That's not American. That's not sensible. I don't know. They're talking about tariffs up to 500%. Anyway, it's just some very strange stuff. And I'm curious to see what kind of reception he's going to get today and what he's going to say. So if you want to break away from me at any time to go cover that, I'll just tune in and listen myself.
I suppose he'll say here what he said in Detroit or any other blue city, that the city is poorly managed. It's a hellhole. And if the Democrats regain power then or retain power, then we'll all go to hell in a handbasket. I don't expect him to say nice things about Chicago. He didn't the last time. He hasn't the last two times he was in town.
Yeah, there are a lot of nice things to say about Chicago, and there are obviously some that you and I are critical of the mayor here and what's been going on with the school board and things like that. But when he talks about like a country and our country is in deep decline and the world is laughing at us, and our country is doing really well right now. Inflation is very low. I know it spiked several years ago post-pandemic, but it's low, and unemployment is low, and the stock market is crashing through records just about every day now, it seems. And he is weeping about how awful this country is. And I just, you know, yeah, we got problems. Every country's got problems. But I think that the United States of America is doing pretty darn well these days. So I'm not exactly sure if that message is resonating. And if he's going to come here and talk about what a hellhole Chicago is, a lot of good things going on in Chicago, as well as some troubling things.
J.B. Pritzker can't resist it either. He always takes the bait whenever Trump is in town or references JB or Illinois. I won't even read what JB said, but he said every time Donald Trump opens his mouth, and then he just talks about all of the criticisms of and names that JB can call Donald Trump. And I don't know what the political value is to our governor to do that. Does he feel like he's got to represent this blue state and lob a bunch of stuff at Donald Trump, or, you know, would he be conspicuously absent if he didn't say anything? I don't think people, when they knew that Donald Trump was going to come to town, were wondering what JB would say about it. But he is not missing the opportunity to issue his own statement.
No, I think you have to realize that JB has his eyes on the long game here. And I think if he thinks that if Kamala Harris loses in November, that he will want to position himself for a run in 2028. And he obviously has goals, future goals in politics, higher office in mind. And there is, of course, no real higher office than than governor of a major state. Why is Trump in Illinois? Illinois is going to be solidly blue. He's not going to get any electoral votes out of Illinois. So maybe he's here just to raise money.
Maybe so. But I think also for the same reason that Kamala Harris is going on Fox News, I think that you have to demonstrate that you are a candidate for all people and you're going to talk to or listen to both sides. So maybe that's just the game you have to play.
Yeah, there's a question for me about when she's going on Fox News. Apparently she's thinking about or is going on Joe Rogan's podcast. And I'm not sure if that's confirmed, but that there've got to be some internal polls showing her that she has got to make up some ground among among male voters, particularly. I mean, the polls for her male voters are not good, that I've seen anyway, and that she needs to do some outreach to those perhaps persuadable Fox News viewers, or at least show them that she's not as terrifying as Trump keeps saying. Trump actually said that she was retarded the other day in a speech, which I mean, that we don't even use that word anymore. And the fact that he would say that and plant that idea in the minds of the far right voters, she's got to go on maybe those stations and assure them, give them maybe permission not to go vote for Trump. Like, well, she's not that bad. That's the only thing I can think. I mean, she's not going to recruit a lot of voters from
Fox
News audience. But she might get them to sit out and say, you know, it's not really, she's not that bad. I'd say if she wins, so what? I'm not going to bother.
Well, I also think that, as you alluded to a moment ago, it's not to convert Fox News viewers. Well, I would be surprised if that's an efficient use of her time, if she actually thinks she's going to get some of their regular viewers to vote for her. But I think the people that are still trying to figure out if they're going to vote for her, people who might, will appreciate the fact that she went into the lion's den. She can take it. She'll put up with whatever abuse she's going to get, and who knows, maybe she'll score some points. Every time Pete Buttigieg goes on Fox News, he does very well, and people respect him for that. I suspect that's the game she's trying to play.
Yeah, I mean, she may be trying to answer some of her critics on the left as well, who are saying that she's not strong enough to do these interviews. There was a long period where people were saying, where is Kamala Harris? She's just doing rallies. She's not doing interviews. And that's kind of, that narrative's kind of turned around now. She's done a bunch of interviews. She's going to be going into Fox. And Trump, in the meantime, has declined to do the 60 Minutes interview, which is generally a fairly tough interview for both candidates. And he's declined to do that. He's declined to debate her. He's declined to release his medical records. He's declined to release his college transcripts. And he's declined to release his tax returns. The guy seems to be hiding things.
Yeah, well, fine. But I do think I should insert that he did go on Family Feud Saturday night. I don't know if you saw that, but he was willing.
I did see it. That's hilarious.
Those are the tough questions. You know, just one last thing about this, then we'll move on. You said that USA Today said, among other things, that he appears slap happy. I think that's the maybe fairest interpretation of what happened in Pennsylvania. A couple of people were struck ill. The thing kind of came off the rails. Of course, you should have just said, okay, we wish these people well. They said they fainted. They didn't die. But they could have continued with the town hall meeting that they were going to have about economics. The questions were pre-screened, so they kind of knew the script. They could have done it. I suspect that he has just done so many of these that he's like, screw it. Let's just play some music. I don't care. I'm Donald Trump. Hey, this will be fun. So he was just riffing in a different way. I don't think it showed him any more deranged than he is. It's not like he suddenly came off the rails. He's been off them for a while. This was a version of it. And yet Kamala Harris is out there today saying, I hope he's okay. She's talking about Donald Trump as though he had a moment, you know? But it was very strange. It was really odd. And if that were Joe Biden, say, the whole world would be talking about it. But I think it's just another version of the craziness that is Donald Trump that the world kind of shrugs at.
Yeah, well, so they certainly have. I guess there was also a rally, I think it was Saturday night at Coachella, and they bust a bunch of people in because it's out in the middle of the desert, and then the buses weren't there to take people back out because they hadn't paid for the buses to give them the return trip. I mean, there's all sorts of strange things going on in this campaign and some of the daffy things that Trump has been saying. But there's the New York Times did even a big piece about this, is that a lot of his supporters don't even really believe him. They just like his vibe. They like that he comes off
completely.
Like a strong guy.
Completely.
And he says these things about mass deportations and sending the military after, it looks like he just after his opponents on the left. They may come for the Mincing Rascals at some point. I don't know. But he's saying that his supporters, they don't even really believe him.
I don't believe him. You don't believe him. They're not believable. I think that's the point. How are you this late to that game? Of course, it's just rhetoric, and it doesn't mean anything other than it signals. It signals I'm angry and I'm strong and I'm on your side. That's all that stuff means, Eric.
Well, we'll see, because I think he realizes that his first presidential turn, he had too many people around him, like General Milley, who recognized that he was a budding fascist, and they put some guardrails on him. I think this time he's not going to make that kind of mistake. He's going to surround himself with complete loyalists.
You take that rhetoric more seriously. Fair
enough. The president has a lot of power, actually, and we may come to see that if he's elected.
They'll monitor the president's speech in the newsroom. Producer Pete, can you just give us a little audio of what's happening right now?
For Vice President Harris, you're on course to push up debt up to 150% of GDP. You know, this is a very business-like audience.
Yeah.
Why should they trust you with that?
Because we're about growth. She's got no growth whatsoever, and we're all about growth. We're going to bring companies back to our country. You look at even today, as I was driving over, I see these empty, old, beautiful, like steel mills and factories that are empty and falling down. Some have been converted to senior citizens' homes, but that's not going to do the trick. And we're going to bring the companies back. We're going to lower taxes still further for companies that are going to make their product in the USA. We're going to protect those companies with strong tariffs.
They'll continue to monitor the president's response. He's being interviewed on a stage, a serious economics discussion. I'm unaware of any steel mills downtown, but he went by one, and it's now been converted to a senior citizen center. I'll let the newsroom continue to monitor that, and we'll get to WGN Radio News in 9 minutes. Did he just say that? The most beautiful word in the English dictionary is tariff. It's 11:51. Okay, back to Eric Zorn, the publisher of a newsletter called the Picayune Sentinel. Eric?
Yes?
You noticed a change in the layout of the Sun-Times. Yeah. That is what?
I did. I just want to point out that Trump must have taken a very circuitous route to that meeting. If he went from Trump Tower by some abandoned factories in the loop, I don't know that we're there.
That may be the reason he was late.
One of the things that I noticed in the Sun-Times earlier this month, they changed the layout of their weather page from a full page to a half page of weather news, which I thought was a smart move on their part, because everyone's got a weather forecast on their phone, and it's a localized weather forecast, and you don't need to go to the newspaper to see the forecast. If you want to know what the temperature is in Fargo, you know, North Dakota or whatever, you just ask Siri or ask Alexa or, you know, one of these digital assistants what the temperature is there. There's no real need for that in the newspaper. I wrote, and also at the same time, I noticed that the Sun-Times had come out with a story saying that 2 years ago they had lifted their paywall. And then Jennifer Koh, the executive editor there, had written a column talking about the effect of this. And basically all she did was list 34 good stories that they've done, or good coverage that they've done. And I agree. I think the Sun-Times has been doing a good job locally. I respected them when I was working at the Tribune, and now it's just a reader. I subscribe to them, and I like their paper. But I just asked her, like, how are you doing now that you lifted your paywall? Is this sustainable? So I wrote about both of those things, and essentially they're going to be reevaluating the weather page there as it goes on. They've gotten a lot of complaints they've published about it. People want a larger weather page. And they really don't want to talk too much about their finances because they're not sure yet, I think, whether the philanthropic contributions are going to sustain them. But that's kind of where they're going with that. So, but the larger point was about the weather page was, what should newspapers be providing now in an age when so much is available on your phone? What is the added value of getting a newspaper? And that's really the question that I'm interested in right now. It's like, okay, do you need to have, baseball box scores, for instance? Those are easily available online. Do you need TV grids? The Tribune got rid of its TV grid. The Sun-Times still has a modified TV grid. Years ago, both papers got rid of the stock market tables. Remember those days when you have like pages and pages of stock tables? It's like, And they finally realized, well, anyone who's got a stock portfolio has probably got a smartphone and is probably, or at that point, a desktop computer, can just go look up their own stocks and not have to wade through all this agate type looking for things. So I'm just wondering what newspapers should be providing these days and what they're not. I, for instance, right now think that it's an incredible mistake that there is no really strong media columnist in this town. That once we lost Robert Feeder, there's nobody covering media. It's just really bizarre. Media is really important in this town. A lot
Harry
more
Deeb
important
used to do it too. Yeah.
You know, years ago, Ron Ulrich, there were lots of reporters that used to do it, but the papers have abandoned it. They've also actually, I think, for the most part, abandoned local columnists. Can you name me two local columnists in town? I can name two: Greg Hines and Neil Steinberg. But the papers have just kind of abandoned that idea. The major newspapers have abandoned the idea of local columnists. And I think that those are what add value to newspapers. It's why I'll pick up the Sun-Times. I want to see what Neil has to say. Or I'll pick up Crane's to see what Greg Hines is going to say. But the papers have kind of abandoned that idea. And I think that's a mistake as well. I think the papers need to think, like, what can we provide that you can't get elsewhere? And I don't think they're thinking very thoroughly about that question right now.
One thing they used to do in the Tribune was on Saturday, they would have all of the games listed on top to bottom in like a long column that were going to be on TV that day. They sort of curated all of the important games in a very easy to look at list. And I would plan my Saturday by looking at that and going, okay, I'm going to watch this. And then I'll go over to that channel and watch that. And I kind of knew my day. And that doesn't exist anymore. And I really miss that. I wonder what you think about this, Eric. It seems to me like the Chicago Tribune is a Chicago Bears newspaper. The amount of coverage they devote to Bears coverage and the amount of hits they get on their website is, I don't want to say what's keeping them alive. They're more valuable than a Bears outlet. But wow, that's got to be valuable to the Trib.
It is. One thing, the Sun-Times does continue every day to run that TV sports grid, which I also find valuable, and I think it's bizarre that the Tribune doesn't have that. I just don't understand that at all. It is a really useful feature. The Tribune's Brad Biggs, who does his 10 thoughts after every Bears game, the best, the smartest, the most exhaustive Bears coverage there is in town. The Sun-Times does a really good job with Bears coverage also. The newspapers really, really do well with the major Chicago sports teams, I think. That's where they're really and I think, and I also think the papers are doing well with City Hall coverage. I think that both Tribune, Sun-Times, Crane's, they're doing top notch work there. So that's where the value gets added, I think, to these papers. But they do a lot of Bear stuff, but clearly their audience research is showing them that people do want to read that.
Woe to them if they drop a comic or the horoscopes or something like that. We got to go, Eric, but are you surveying your readers then about how they feel about this stuff?
I asked them today about how they feel about horoscope columns. Because everybody knows that they're nonsense. Even people who are into astrology know that they're nonsense.
Yeah.
But people like them. And right now it's like basically I think 40% of my readers, last I looked, were in favor of the horoscope columns, which are like, you know, glorified fortune cookies, but what the heck.
Eric Zorn is the publisher of the Picayune Sentinel. He'll send it to you if you email ericzorn@gmail.com. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Eric.
See you, John.